That's what they love about the show.
Yeah, it's so real.
Welcome to Geeks Without God with Molly Glover, Nick Glover, and Tim Wick.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
This week on Geeks Without God, our guest is Maren Allgaard. She's here to talk to us about having a parent come out, which is something her and Nick have in common. So we talk about what that experience is like.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Welcome to Geeks Without God. I'm your host, Molly Glover, joined as always by my co-hosts, Tim Wick.
Hello.
And Nick Glover.
Hey, hey.
And today we are joined by our dear friend and an amazing performer, Maren Allgaard. Welcome, Maren.
Thank you for having me.
Maren is one half of the band M2O.
Sure.
And they perform at Convergence all the time, and they're always opposite Ville lately, so we never get to see them. But they're really great nerdy filk music. I mean, some original and mostly original these days, right?
Yep, mostly original, some parody.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
You two just performed with Blackout Improv at their Fringe show?
We did. Yes, it was super fun. It was a great crowd. The vibes were what I needed at Convergence.
You're saying that
Molly laughing. So yeah.
That it was a great crowd because I was there, right? Is that why you brought that up?
That probably was it.
Yeah.
You were there and we didn't even know you were there, but.
And it's a good thing because in the middle of the show, you would have been like, hi, Tim Wick. And then it would have been awkward.
Hi, Tim Wick.
So,
you know what this blackout performance needs? Let's call out a white guy.
Yeah, that would have been perfect. That would have absolutely improved the show.
Definitely.
Well, the funny thing was that I was the one who received the first message asking if we would do the show.
Oh, yeah. And not Morgan.
Yeah.
Got
this text that was like, that's cool. And I was like, screenshot and sent it to Morgan. And I was like, I'm in if you're in. And then as I sent that message, I should have sent this to Morgan. I was like, it's all good. I already sent it to her and I just made us a group chat. So
don't worry. I used my white authority to uplift her black voice. she loves that.
I'm just going to pass this along to her and make sure she's got the thumbs up on this first.
Right.
Yeah.
I forgot that they were like compensating us for the time. And then I was like, oh, we do have a M2O PayPal, but it was like sort of under Slitherpuff, so let me figure out like if we still have this. And then I was like, oh yeah, but we have a business account, so that means that they're gonna charge us, so let's just not do that. I was like, have him send it to you and then you just keep it. And she was like, stop being a good ally.
And like, just to say, like, you two really are really great allies, honestly. So your band used to be called Slitherpuff, and mm-hmm. and because you were one Slytherin, one Hufflepuff, mm-hmm. coming together to sing a lot of nerdy songs, a lot of which used to be about Harry Potter. And when all this shit went down with J.K. Rowling, you guys, you pivoted. And mm-hmm. you came up with a new name, which I love, because mm-hmm. it's Maren and Morgan, so M2O. And it's just, I think that really is, it's just so important for people to do. And it kind of is a clumsy segue into why we're here today. Oh, baby. So Maren brought up to us a topic that we've never explored before that I think is really interesting, because Maren and Nick have something in common. You each have a parent who came out on the LGBTQIA+ spectrum. Maren, tell us about your experience. Let's talk about why you're here.
Yeah. So when I was growing up, my dad was a pastor. I was born in South Dakota in
Alpha, I'm so sorry.
Where he was a pastor, right in like the corner of South Dakota. And then
which corner? There's four.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing.
Closest to North Dakota, because that's where my parents are from. And then we lived in Iowa for a while. So like most of my memories, like childhood core memories, are in Iowa, such as that picture of 5-year-old me with a goat.
I just saw it. It was very cute.
Yes. We moved from... We're a Baptist church, but American Baptist. So we're not like Southern Baptist.
And Northern always, Baptist.
Yeah. We're very much like not the typical thing you think of when you think of a Baptist church.
But was it a little bit born again, like a little bit, you know, sins washed away, like a Baptist church where it's like anyone can come here from any walk of life and be forgiven.
Yeah. So then I was, we moved to Farmington, Minnesota. And we were,
you just had a real banger.
I've always been very Midwestern, but we moved and we were at a church, I think in like Apple Valley or Lakeville or something. Mm-hmm. And then I think my dad was wanting to leave because of not agreeing with some of the views there or something. Mm-hmm. And then, the year that Tarzan, the animated movie, 1999, the movie came out the same year as my dad.
Do you think the movie is what tipped him over?
Oh, that Tarzan.
He was like, oh my God, hold on.
Loincloth got me thinking things.
I was kindergarten going in first grade. So sure. It was my first grade year and we were homeschooled for part of my first grade. I had been in public school, kindergarten, preschool, but I remember like doing like Bible studies and like, I remember going to vacation Bible school and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And every night saying, "Dear Jesus, thank you for blah, blah, blah." I guess when I was little and we prayed at dinner time, we said, "Amen." And I said, "No, it's all weighty."
So you're growing up in this very religious, sounds like a little, you know, sequestered or cloistered household, you know, homeschooling and things. So were you in first grade in 1999 or what are we? So and that's when your dad came out.
Mm-hmm.
Was it shocking to you?
Yes. I didn't understand really what was
You're
going
a little
on.
Kid.
Yep. I remember my mom and dad wanting to talk to my brother and I. My brother's a little bit older than me. We're like 1 year but two grades apart kind of. And so I remember us like sitting down on my parents' bed and them like ready to give us a serious talk. And we're like, what is going on? We've never done anything like this.
Yeah.
What is this, like, situation. And so I remember my brother like running out of the room. So then I just kind of followed suit and I was like, we're upset. Like, I don't know. Like, run out of the room.
He and I are mad.
So it was, that was when I started going to public school again. Cause my parents, they found a church in Minneapolis together that was welcoming to LGBT and also still Baptist church. That's in off of like Harriet and 41st in Minneapolis. And so my dad moved to Minneapolis and we stayed in Farmington, but we went every other weekend to his house. And most of the turnover was at the Sunday we'd meet at church and then we'd go with the other parent. I got left at church once because my mom forgot that I was coming back home with her. Where are you? I was like, this is the youth room. Like, where are you? I went home. Oh, cool.
Was your mom like, so your dad was a pastor. Was your mom super religious? Was it something that she, you know, like a lot of times you hear about, you know, like I know my mom converted to Catholicism from my biological father so they could get married, but she was never very religious, you know? So was it something like your mom was a true believer or was she just kind of along for the ride with the Baptist church?
I think they met through church.
Okay.
If I remember correctly. So they kind of both grew up as religious.
Yeah.
And my mom later went to seminary herself, and she's now a hospital chaplain. So I have two ordained parents.
That's great.
I mean, I know what my experience is with this. How did your mom take it?
Yeah.
How was she crushed? Was she, I mean, I'm sure it was a lot of different emotions, but from your perspective, or, and I know you're so young, so maybe it's,
or even just when you've talked to her since.
Yeah. How did she react?
I think it was tough on her. One of the things I remember her saying was, no wonder he always liked short hair on me. And we lived in Farmington at the time, and I never told like any of my friends when I lived in Farmington about my dad coming out. Like they knew my parents were divorced, but I never like shared that information because I had like bush signs on either side of me at my houses. And so,
divorce is way more common. Like, I mean, in 1999, everyone's parents are getting divorced. Right. You know? Yeah.
But they did a Star Tribune article, and I've tried to find it.
Oh.
But they had an interview about my dad coming out. And so I think the newspaper is somewhere in my mom's house, but I've tried to like Google and find like archives of it, and I haven't been able to. So I don't really remember what was in the article, but I mean, like, that's a very like public way to like talk about it.
Yeah. So
it seemed like I vaguely remember them asking like my brother and I if we were like okay with that, but
they're going to the same church, that they went to find a church together so they could still be in the same congregation, that clearly meant that your dad's happiness mattered to your mom. And it mattered to her that this was making him, that this is what he needed to be happy. And that she was, you know, willing to commit. I mean, Farmington to Minneapolis, for people who don't know, is not a short drive. And that's a long haul. And whether or not you're trading kids off, that's great. But I mean, every other weekend isn't always trading kids off. So there's, you know, that means that she's making that trek to really try to stay supportive of, you know, somebody that I'm sure at one point she considered her best friend. You know, generally when you're marrying somebody, it's someone that you love in a way that is beyond. So that's actually really, really telling for how it was going for her. And I can understand being emotionally devastated, obviously. And especially if you didn't feel like you didn't see it coming, or maybe you say to yourself, oh, I probably should have, you know, like, you know, in hindsight. But it's really, I love that they did that. My parents, no one was gay, got divorced for shitty reasons and were horrible to each other. So like, it's a completely different story.
I was going to say a little bit different for me.
For your dad. Didn't go so well.
Yeah, my mom came out, I think like 92, something like that. My parents, we were living in Osseo, which is a small town suburb.
Not unlike Farmington, but a little less rural.
It's not so rural. Yeah, it was a small town.
It was more rural back then, for sure.
And I think my parents were divorced for like 2 years before we moved to Minneapolis. And my mom coming out was a big part of why we moved to Minneapolis, because it wasn't Osseo wasn't super welcoming in, you know, 1993 or whatever. You know, I remember like my parents getting separated and them setting up my mom with a her own bedroom and stuff in the basement. And it was like, well, you know, hey, we're figuring things out. You know, your mom might be attracted to men and women. We're figuring things out. We don't know what's going on, but we're giving her some space so that she can, you know, explore who she is and figure things out. And, you know, my dad was all of a sudden the best husband and the best dad. And like whatever you need. Cause you know, I think he was scared of getting divorced, being raised Catholic. And then eventually it was I'm gay. We're getting divorced. It was the same thing too. They sat us down on the edge of their bed in their bedroom gave me and my brother the lowdown. And my brother's 7 years younger than I am. So he was a little kid at the time. But and then, you know, we moved separately, and eventually my mom, brother, and I moved to Minneapolis not too long after that, because Osseo was kind of a shit place to be gay or to have a gay mom. Or I mean, to have a Korean brother for that matter. Like, it was not a super hospitable place to us ever, as like the fat nerd kid too. Like, man, Osseo was just like a bullying experience for the three of us.
I think your dad was right at home.
My dad fit in great
because he's a white farm boy, Catholic. Who's really a good old boy, yeah, kind of a guy, yeah. Like, you know.
But we didn't have religion, wasn't so involved, because religion wasn't really a big thing for us beyond also, like you, having a lot of clergy in our family. My mom's dad was a Lutheran pastor for forever, and her sister, and I have cousins, and, you know, crazy with Lutherans.
So Tim and I are a little older. I'm a little older. Tim's older than me. And so I feel like, Tim, I don't know if anyone in your family ever came out. Do you have anyone in your family that's ever come out?
I've been trying to think about it and not, no, my family is surprisingly straight. It's
not too surprising when you look at you, but
yeah, I mean, I'm just saying my family in general, yeah. It's like, as I think, yeah. Through all of my relatives, I don't have any relatives that I think are, well, I can think of one distant cousin who came out, she came out late in life.
Mm-hmm. Did you know anybody when you were a kid? Did your family know anybody who was gay, or was there anyone like at the church that you guys went to, which was a progressive Catholic church? Like,
yeah,
was there anything like that?
There wasn't anybody who was out there. I know my parents had a couple of friends who were gay, because I remember having a talk with them at some point when I was young. And
were you on the edge of their bed?
No, that's weird, isn't it? That's really weird. I guess it's because they weren't coming out, but, you know, they were like, oh, this person, yeah, they're a boy and they like other boys. And honestly, I'm like, if every child had homosexuality explained to them, there would be no homophobia, because I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
And that was it. I was done. There weren't a lot of gay people in my life until I went to high school and I was a theater kid. And then there were a lot of gay people in my life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I am the first person who ever came out in my family. When I came out as bi, it was 1996, and my mom laughed in my face, said I was a liar, and then put it in the Christmas letter. In a joking, shitty way. Like, it was like a ha ha, Molly thinks she's bisexual. Isn't that stupid? It's funny because I've really watched the evolution of specifically my mother, but a lot of people in my family, the evolution of acceptance and understanding as more and more people in their lives that they love, not just tangential people, not just, oh, that one clerk at the law office, or like, oh, that friend, that guy friend of my friend, and he's crazy, you know, like not the fetishizing of it when it became more like actual people. But like, funny enough, like me, my sister, our cousin, and we're all gay, bi, out, various flavors of queer. And so my mom has since like been, she's very accepting, and, you know, and then of course, oh my gosh, she loves Nick's mom and she loves Nick's brother, and oh, they're so great. And she's such an ally. But, you know, I was never, homosexuality was not explained to me, at all, ever. I for some reason, like, I knew that the designer and mannequin was gay. Like, I just somehow, like, just, I was like, I think, I was like, he's gay. Right? You know, my mom's like, what is that? I'm like, I don't know, but he's gay. But by the time, so my brother and sister are closer in age to you, Mar. And so my little brother and sister, by the time it was like the mid 90s, you know, they both, you know, were totally like, oh yeah, boys have sex with boys, girls have sex with girls, it's gay, it's not a big deal. And even though they didn't know anybody, it was already like starting to be something that they just absorbed, right? And I think that's a really interesting divide that I think is, it gets starker with every year, you know? And I think that the Gen Alpha kids probably aren't going to be like, oh, when did you learn what gay was? Because it just, it was everywhere. It was just a thing that wasn't even like a thing you had to learn.
So, Martin, I experienced something that I want to know if you had this at all too. So this was more in the, I was going to a Unitarian Universalist church actually around this time.
When
my mom came out. Right. And so UU kids, and when we moved to Minneapolis, new peers in Minneapolis, whether they were theater kids or, you know, pothead kids or whatever. I had a lot of friends that were like, I don't want to say like inspired by my mom, but they were definitely interested in having like a grown up gay person who was happy and had kids and was successful. They were interested in having that person in their life. Like, I had actually a friend of mine from Osseo send me a Facebook message out of nowhere one day that was like, hey, you know, your mom like actually had a great impression on me. And I mean, as far as I know, like, he's a straight guy that's, you know, married, maybe a bi guy that's married. I don't know. But he was just like, that was my exposure to someone gay in my life was your mom. And I've had, you know, people that were young women in the 90s, in the mid 90s, who were like, it was dope. It was important to me that your mom, you know, we ran into you guys at Lilith Fair. That was fucking awesome. Like, that's Nick's cool gay mom. Did you get any of that, where you had people that kind of like vicariously got this?
I've got a friend and she's got a gay dad. And yeah.
Was your dad's identity important to other people in your lives?
Not really. That's a cooler experience. I feel like
the reason's not good.
A lot of people like my mom, but but I was more like cautious around people about my dad because I was like, because in Farmington, my like best friend at the time was always saying, that's so gay. And like,
in
the negative ways. And so I always just like internalized, like, I just didn't say anything. And I didn't speak up to that at all. And I was like, I know that's something that her older brother said, and that's not what she's saying. And I was like, I was just not saying anything. And so then once I moved to Minneapolis when my mom, got married. My mom and dad went to like PFLAG and stuff.
Together.
And then my mom met her husband at Straight Spouse Network.
They went to PFLAG stuff together. That's like I mean, honestly, like, your mom was super supportive.
Didn't wanna like estrange us from our dad.
That's so, really like, great.
Yeah. And I really appreciate that. But like, I still feel like I didn't have as much of a relationship with my dad as and like, if I was at his house longer, then I would probably have, I usually have like a good rapport with my dad, but like, I'm not like, if people are like, oh, are you close with your dad? Like, I mean, when did I talk to him?
Yeah. Every other weekend. Yeah.
So, but I was like testing people when I moved to Minneapolis, because the person who like became my best friend, I remember she had a sleepover at my mom's house, and we were walking to Walgreens together, and I remember asking her who she would vote for if she was old enough to vote. And so when she said the person that my dad was gonna vote for, I was like, oh, then she's fine. I was like, just so you know, my dad's gay. And she was like, oh, that's cool, okay. Like, she just didn't care. And I was like,
what an amazing non sequitur. It's, like, who would you vote for if you could vote? My dad's gay.
For folks that don't know, PFLAG, parents, friends, family of lesbians and gays. Yeah. Nice. They're still around.
Yeah. So this is going back a bit, but is your dad still a pastor? Was he able to?
So I don't remember. Switched to the church that we attended, he wasn't a pastor anymore. He occasionally would like guest preach on Sundays, but he wasn't like doing that for work anymore. And then he ended up going to school for social work. So he's a social worker right now. He taught at Mankato State for a little while.
Nice.
And then now he's in Nevada. So haven't seen him in a while.
Does he have a partner? Did he ever have a partner when you were growing up?
Yeah. So most of the people that I met that he dated, I was like, yeah, you're great. You're a fun person, whatever. Yeah. I had a
He's
lot.
So fun.
So fun. Oh my gosh. One of the people had a huge TV. My brother and I watched Jumanji.
Oh, yeah.
That was so much fun.
Oh, I bet. Like,
wow. But I always like had more aversion to the people that my mom dated. Mm-hmm. And I often felt that I was like trying to be bribed to like them too.
I remember
getting things from them and I'm like, why are you like just giving me things? Like,
yeah.
I don't want this.
Sus.
Yeah. And so like the people that my dad introduced us to, like, were always just like friendly, kind people. And like, I didn't feel like they were trying to like, do anything like that, like,
yeah,
like me. It was just mm-hmm. like they were just a person, and but there also wasn't like a new woman to replace my mom, and so sure. I think
yeah.
that kind of internally was like, oh, but like that's my dad, and you're not my dad, like, don't.
And that
try
guy
to
obviously knows he's not your dad. He's not right. trying to be your dad. He wants right. to be maybe in your dad, but like,
I Martin, for me, I had, I forgot where I was going with this. Oh shit. I lost it.
Why don't you think about it?
Well, yeah, please.
So I will say that like when my mother and my biological father got divorced, it was because my biological father had been cheating on her with a woman that he's still married to. Like, I can't deny they were in love. Like, they are still married. They had 3 kids together. I mean, like, you can't really argue with results, right? Like, he's clearly very happy. He can go fuck himself, but whatever. But my mom told us, when they got divorced, I was 10, Kevin was 7. And they were like, my mom was like, I want you to know, because, you know, she was going to be better than Wayne. She's mm-hmm. like, I want you to know that I will never introduce you to anybody I'm dating unless I think I'm going to marry him. And we were like, okay, that's weird, but okay, that's like so serious. So then one day she brought home the guy I now call my dad. She brought this guy home, Steve. He was 29. And so just imagine you're 29 and you come over to your girlfriend's house and there's these 2 kids and one of them's 12 and the other one's 10. And they're going, dun, 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 the first time you meet them. And I was like, oh, and he's like, hi, I'm Steve. And I'm like,
I was like,
shut up. And we're like, married, like, just like over the top. So I never got bribed by my mother's dating partners. I didn't know if she even dated anybody that time. It was weird. It was almost like the opposite reaction that was not any better.
Mm-hmm. I hid under a table once. Like,
Yeah, I totally remembered. All right. So it's very interesting how different our experiences are. I'm sure like gender and geography and stuff have a lot to do with it. But I think a shitload of things changed between like 1992 or 3 and 1999. Like the difference is crazy.
Compared to now, it's like nothing changed.
I don't know. Well, I know my mom had a hard time because she came out, I don't not late in life, but I mean late in life as a full mm-hmm. grown ass adult and everything with you know, with an ex and with kids. And mm-hmm. so I know she had kind of a difficult time with some people in her new community she was trying to find a place in because she had kids. And because she had an ex-husband, cis dude, and I know on at least one occasion she probably got called like a breeder in a divisive way, right? And so it's interesting that even some people coming out in the 90s didn't have like this new community that was automatically welcoming and ready for them. Case in point, people that came out as bi, right? And so I know that it's in retrospect, you think, you know, now if someone comes out, they have a lot of people that are ready to support and be there for them, regardless of, you know, however they're coming out. But even within communities, it was still divided, not totally accepting. Did you see any weird grief or anything because you existed, because your brother existed? Was it difficult for your dad?
I don't know. I think I wasn't, or like, I didn't see him as often. Like, I didn't really get that side of things. And I think a lot of like being so young when this happened, like mm-hmm. it became my norm. And so then mm-hmm. like later on, I feel like a lot of the, my dad got married in 2005. I think.
Oh, nice.
I mean, it wasn't legal here, but like we had a ceremony and everything.
Yeah. His mom did one of those too.
Two of those.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then later when it was legal in Iowa, my dad got married in Iowa.
Yeah. 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 His mom too. Yeah. Totally. Exactly. Yep. Exactly.
Oh my God. Did they get married near the state capitol in Iowa? Maybe it was the same park. No.
It was in Decorah. I got into a car accident on my way there.
Ooh, fun.
Yeah, it's very, the thing you say about the communities and accepting is really interesting because, I mean, obviously bisexuals are to this day still a little bit, you know, stigmated in terms of like mm-hmm. whether or not you count. It's better now, but
for years and years, there are people like Dan Savage, who wrote Savage Love, was, you know, a very visibly out guy mm-hmm. early, used to say shit like gay men don't, or bisexual men don't exist. Bisexual, they're just gay and in denial.
Yep.
Like, or said that for a long time.
Yep. I was told that that's what the first thing my mother said to me when I told her I was bisexual, she was like, how many women have you slept with? And I was like, I mean, first of all, that's kind of none of your business. But second of all, like, I've only slept with two people at all. So like, I don't really know. I'm 18. Calm down. Like, it was so weird. But like, you know, and later when I realized, like, you never ask a virgin, you don't mm-hmm. say, you don't tell a virgin they don't know what they are. Mm-hmm. They just haven't had sex yet. You don't say like, oh, you're not straight, you're a virgin, you're not. Right. It's weird. But like, there's this weird like, oh, if you haven't had sex with enough people of the one or the other gender, then you don't count, right? As that
pass some test.
But one thing that was really weird was, you know, the attitude, the breeder thing. I got called a breeder by other girls I went to college with, and I'm like, I haven't bread, like I don't even. And what's extra funny is the person I was dating at the time that they told me meant I couldn't be a part of, I got kicked out of the LGBT alliance. It was GLBT back then, but I got kicked mm-hmm. out of that from my school because I was dating a man. Well, she's a woman, so fuck off. I wish I could be like, oh yeah. Well, guess what? Guess what? Turns out, like,
joke's on all of you. I do think that because my dad came out, like, sometimes if I don't really know somebody well, I end up like, it's just randomly will come up. I'm like, oh yeah, I was a preacher's kid, and then I'm like, but yeah, then my dad came out, and sometimes people are like, wait, I'm sorry, what?
Uh-huh. A little bit of whiplash.
Like, compute in my brain. They're like, I'll just like so casually, like, it's just like a throwaway line. And they're like, what is this lady talking about? Like, what's going on? But once I like started to find friends that I was like, oh, you don't care. Like, I mean, like, it doesn't bother you that my dad is gay and this isn't like a weird thing for you to mm-hmm. like see people around you who are part of that community. And so I was like, I would go to the LGBTQ like group that we had at school, and that just like was my like safe space. And I was like, okay, I have mm-hmm. all of these people that I don't feel weird about the fact that my dad is gay. I feel like I am able to just exist here and like not have to worry about it. And like, some of the times I was like, is it okay that I'm here? Like, is it too much of like a, is it an ally jumping in here and like that kind of thing? But like, I think because I was involved with that, it made me feel more like involved in that community and able to like be a part of that. And like, I would go to Pride. My mom goes to Pride like every year. My mom is like, she's like super supportive of it. So it's been like really nice that she was that supportive. And I had arguments with my dad about them being singular pronoun. So like,
oh, classic.
And then I told my mom that one of my old roommates like what their name is now and that they use they them pronouns. And like the next time they asked me immediately where it, she just used they them yep. pronouns, and it wasn't yep. it was like she didn't skip a beat trying to like be mm-hmm. like, oh well, did she they he like
yeah no, yeah
like, hesitation. It was just accepted. And so I was like, okay, that's like, and she went to, I think it was the Golden Valley Pride last year. And somebody was protesting or preaching something. And my mom starts jumping up and down going, it's okay to be gay. And one of my friends who was doing a booth for his job, I told him that. And he was like, that was your mom? I saw her.
I have one last very important question. Are either of your parents nerds?
Oh.
No, I wish.
No.
Yeah, my mom.
I, they don't
did really... you have to come out as a nerd to your parents? Or did they no, just always know?
I feel like my brother was probably more the nerdy one, but like I would watch the same shows as we would just.
Yeah.
I mean, we had to pick one channel, so.
Yeah, you when know? You're that close in age, you don't get to yeah. have your own thing.
Right. I mean, like Pokemon, Digimon.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Yu-Gi-Oh more than
I'm
did,
so old.
Yeah, I mean, like, I still only know, like, the first generation of Pokemon, so I don't know where they're at now. but we've had to explain a lot of things to my mom. Like, she, I think it was the character from One Piece. They had a balloon at the Thanksgiving parade.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And she goes, is that Ash?
We got to get your mom to Convergence. We got to get your mom to Con. She would love it.
She's a true fan.
She's a true ally. I want to see it.
My mom is very much not a nerd. And I think
she's so baffled by nerd stuff.
To this day, I think she is surprised that my nerdy interests have led to basically all of the friends I have now, my career,
your wife
performing, my wife and my happy marriage. Like, I think every once in a while, she just has a moment where she realizes that, like, that's because I'm a nerd and that is why I'm social and outgoing and stuff. And she's like, surprised. Like, she's very much not a nerd. The only thing my mom's ever been nerdy about, which is super hilarious and ironic given the topic of the conversation, the only thing my mom is nerdy about is fucking Outlander.
She loves Outlander.
The Scottish bodice rip, time traveler, self-insert bodice ripper.
A little bit of sexual assault in there, maybe.
Like, yeah, yeah.
And, men fucking women, that's
so
all.
Like, when the show was coming out, she was like excited to watch it and asking about what channel it's on. And then she was talking about differences between the show and the book. I'm like, this is you. This is me. You're doing it. This is what it's like. Now you understand. She was like, oh, like, okay. I think that was another moment for her.
Awesome.
I remember my mom reading like book series and stuff, like,
yeah,
like nerdy books, but like,
no, they're mom books for sure though.
Yeah. And I've read them all. I think I've surpassed her on the series.
maybe like Clan of the Cave Bear or something, yeah. Right? Yes.
My mom read those.
Stephanie Plum novels. I don't know if you know Stephanie Plum.
Awesome. This was great. This was a really fun conversation. Thank you so much. But it is time for five questions.
What? Five
ready,
questions?
Been a while.
Oh, my God.
Maren,
five questions.
Has not answered our five questions.
Our
and that means
ones.
We get to do five questions.
Fun.
Yeah, she
can't
hasn't
wait.
Answered these. She answered another set long ago because she's a longtime fan, just a little better than you. All right. Tim, question one.
Yes, question number one. What is a game you have played recently that you really enjoyed?
Stardew Valley.
Oh, yeah.
How far
in the
cave and what year?
I started it on my iPad, and so I had to recently buy it on Steam because I don't get the updates on the iPad. So mm-hmm. on the iPad, I'm on, like, year 5, and then I'm on year 1 winter, spring.
Yeah, nice. Nice.
I feel like I didn't. It's one of those games that I know it's not a you can do this wrong kind of game, but I'm like, why is this taking me 5 years?
Did you have a spouse in your iPad version?
Sebastian.
Ooh, Sebastian. She landed Sebastian. Very nice. I married Emily And all she does is give me rocks. She's the dumbest bitch. Like, she's like, I got up early and I fed the animals. I'm like, girl, we have a feeder. Like, what are you doing? Who would you feed?
I feel like Sebastian is a bit of like a femboy, but he's also got a motorcycle and he's kind of emo. And I'm too much right up my alley.
He's 100% like, is it Tommy from Twin Peaks? Like, he's the pretty motorcycle boy for sure.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. Nick, question two.
What's a science fact or discovery that you think is really fucking cool?
Man, that's a hard question.
It's a hard question. Like, there's so much science.
Science is just cool in general.
Do any of your songs deal with any science stuff? You guys have nerdy songs.
Oh, man, we do have nerdy songs, and apparently we're not nerdy enough.
When in doubt, is there like a really weird animal quirk or fact that you think is dope? Because science.
Well, yeah. Goats.
Yes.
They're freaking rectangular pupils. They're so cool.
Yes. Thank you. Their eyes are like the best part. What, and people are like, hate their eyes.
What's the evolutionary advantage? What are they? Do you know? Do either of you know?
I don't know.
They just look good. I'm looking it up. Goat pupil shape.
I think my favorite thing about it is that it creeps some people out.
That might be why I like goats so much, that they're like kind of weird and like creaky, but I'm like, but that's so cool. And
it allows
a little bit of like I'd rather lean towards like the Satanism than
it allows for wide lateral vision, which means they can see further parallel to the ground while grazing.
So
they're able to see distance and predators and things coming while their heads are down and they're grazing because of their pupils.
You know, they're also
able to see me from a distance eating lunch and longing for me to pet them.
What's kind of interesting to me is that since I don't, I'm not a big goat fan like two of the other people on this podcast at this moment. I never thought about the fact that every goat because I don't spend a lot of time around real goats, that every goat drawing I've ever seen, the goats had square pupils, and it never occurred to me that that's because goats have square pupils. So I just...
choice for every artist. Yeah.
I'm like how they draw little asterisks pupils in like Rick and Morty. And
it's a stylistic choice. I just thought it was, that's how you draw goats. I don't know.
I love that. Molly, is this like something that's telling? Like, am I bisexual? And I didn't know.
The reason I knew I was bisexual was I watched the show Rent and I was like, oh, fuck, you can like both? Well, this time I thought I was just doing gay wrong. Like, genuinely, I was like, well, I know I'm not gay, but I'm not straight. What is this? Yeah,
I knew I was attracted to women when I watched Alien. Or it was Aliens. It was definitely Sigourney Weaver, though, for sure.
You missed our song that Morgan wrote about the mummy being...
Oh, yeah.
Like, everyone's bisexual.
Looking back, there were signs. Like the 7-page spread I made in my scrapbook about Madonna, where I wrote, Madonna is everything. I wish I could be her. I want to live with her. I wish I could meet her. I bet she smells amazing. Just this constant obsession. Question three. Where do you get your sense of right and wrong from, since it's likely not religion because you're on our show?
That's a great question. I don't think...
Was there like a book you read that you think, a lot of people have in the past been like, yeah, like I love Star Wars and I know that that's where I take my, stuff from, or like, Lord of the Rings always taught me to be kind to the little people, or, whatever.
Even just as simple as like the Golden Rule.
Yeah.
Things like that.
It's complicated because I feel like I always fell for the villains.
No, that's totally legit.
I'm like, ooh, but like, I know they're not doing this right, but I could fix them,
No, that's great. Yeah.
They sometimes have good points,
I mean, Killmonger was right, right?
Flexible morality is important.
Yeah, Magneto. I think that sometimes that question is hard for people because, like, the natural response for some people is just like, I don't know, empathy? Like, I just like give a shit about other people. Like, I don't know how to answer that question. It's so elementary.
Yeah. I have a lot of empathy, and that sometimes is not good.
Yeah, I mean,
but
I feel like
I also have a lot of like, fuck you to people too.
So I feel like, I mean, this whole episode has kind of been like how you came to question three, right? Like, I mean, it's a very formative experience having a parent come out when you're that young and moving back and forth and, you know, really seeing
religion being a part of it.
Religion being a part of it and seeing how it affects your parents.
Yeah. I don't know that I would be like, if my dad hadn't come out, I don't know where I would be, because I know a lot of like the extended family does not have supporting views of the community. So it's like, I don't agree with them. And I think that we should just be accepting. And like, it's not a choice. I will throw that out there. Cause
yeah, absolutely.
And I'm like, let's not go there with.
Awesome. Tim, question four.
Yeah. If you could build a robot to perfectly perform one chore or task for the rest of your life, what would that be?
Keeping my dog fucking calm.
Wearing out the dog.
Oh my gosh. Just be like, shh. Like if they could just like, I don't know if he would notice if it was a hologram or not, but like maybe like produce a hologram of me. Like I'm here this whole time. Like
a robot like, dog whisperer.
It's a Marn bot that just basically just in your voice is like, it's okay, Grim. We'll go for a walk later. Like,
right. Like, please stop chewing the chairs and standing on the dining table.
We set up a little camera to watch the dogs when we're not home. And so there's like when Pimento was a little guy, he would be barking and kind of freaking out or whatever and very unhappy that we're gone. And one time we used the intercom on the camera to be like, hey, buddy, it's okay. Like, we'll be home soon. And both dogs started looking around. And I think they were like very confused. And that confusion made the situation worse.
Yeah. Like, it's I've heard that's like not they a were, good idea.
Yeah. I think it was a bad idea.
I would caution against that to anyone.
And it hasn't worked on my end when I've been like, well, maybe if I just like scare him, he'll get off the table. And then he's just kind of like, what? Yeah, whatever. I went back on my camera one time and I watched him like standing fully. He's like 80 pounds. He's just standing on my dining table and looking out the window. And then he was like, this is a good spot to lay down. And
We had a dog who figured out how to open the fridge, which we discovered when I was like, where did you get all of this food that we came home to being spread
Wasn't
around
it like
the house?
A turkey carcass?
It was a turkey carcass and a few other things. And it was because he figured out that if he pulled hard enough on the fridge, he could get it to pop open because it was an apartment and it was a shitty fridge.
Yeah.
That was our first dog, our beagle.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. They're clever and curious bastards. Question five, our last one here. What is a movie or TV show that you think everyone should watch? Not necessarily what's the best or your favorite, but what's the one that everyone should watch?
I'm going to say Ted Lasso.
A very popular answer. It's a good show.
Cliche, but
no,
not cliche.
It's got it all.
It's a wholesome fucking show.
What is it about it for you that you think really that people need?
I think the dynamics of like the relationships in it, like everybody's like, they have their conflict, but then they figure out how to resolve it and work together and like not have things be shitty. And I really like the thing that Rebecca's mom tells her, I think, about her ex-husband. She's like, why are you always so nice to him? Like, he sucks. And she's like, I'm not going to let him get to me. Mm-hmm. I will project the kindness, and they could like feed off of that and be like, okay, like, sure, I guess we'll be friendly, but like, don't let their negativity get to you.
Mm-hmm.
He's not going to change who I am just because he sucks.
Yeah.
One of the things I really love about that show, I hate in television when the plot is driven by people not just fucking talking to each other and saying what they feel or what they think and hiding mm-hmm. it. And that's the whole plot. Like, that's the conflict is like, mm-hmm. oh, I think this, but I'm going to not let her know that that's how I feel. And she's going to do mm-hmm. the same. And that's the plot. I hate that. And mm-hmm. Ted Lasso does not do that. Everyone just like the Diamond Dogs is such a great mm-hmm. example. Yeah. Men just being like, what's going on? Talk to us, talk to us. And like, it's really great. And you wouldn't think that a character like Roy Kent by the end would be able to just say, listen, this is how I feel. And like, and you know, like you said this thing and it made me feel shitty for years, mm-hmm. you know, like it's really, I love yep. it. I love it.
That
awesome.
That recently hit me after some convergence stuff.
Yeah. I bet.
It's gonna stick with me. I'm going to try yep. not to let it, but
don't let it stick with you. It's not worth it. Life is for living, not thinking back on how mad you are at something. Maren, thank you so much for joining us. This was a fabulous conversation. Genuinely, I love you so much. I think you are just such a great person and performer. And just, you are a ray of sunshine in any room. And I'm just so happy we got to have you on the show. So thank you so much. If you were listening and you're like, oh my God, I also have a gay parent or a bi parent or a trans parent. And I would love to, you know, let's hear about it in the comments. Talk to us on Facebook. We'd love to hear what your experiences were. If this matched up with you, or if you're like, the one thing you guys didn't mention is this, you know, like, let us know. If you want to answer our 5 questions like Maren just did, you can send them to us at 5questions@geeks.god.com, but you won't. You won't.
I'll send them from a bunch of different emails.
And of course, you can always support us on Patreon. But if you're going to do that newly, I wouldn't do it from an Apple device starting in January or November, because they're going to charge like a 40% thing.
30.
So
just do it from a webpage.
Just do it from a webpage. Not everything needs to be an app. Thank you so much. We've been Geeks Without God, and we will see you next Tuesday.
Bye. Now I'm just feeling left out because my parents never sat me down on the edge of the bed to tell me anything.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Need more Geeks Without God? Go to our website, read our blog posts, find us on Facebook, or follow us on Twitter at Geeks Without God. Social media!
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Oh my God, see you next Tuesday.